Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Getting into the weekend strong with the good, the bad, and the dumb. Let's get things rocking and rolling. The good of the day.
The good of the day. Tony, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Have we ever had a good that doesn't really make us feel good?
No, I don't think so.
We've always had goods that made us feel good,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right, right.
Well, I mean, this is good, but I don't know if it'll make us feel good.
Okay.
Boston Dynamics, you know that company that's behind all the robots we always talk about?
Yes.
Has pledged not to make robots that can kill us and is wanting other companies to do the same.
Oh, how do they prevent that from happening?
Well, they just did an open letter. Saying,
oh,
you
just,
know, let's.
But
let's,
I mean, how do they do it technically?
That don't want to kill us. I guess not weaponizing them.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they could probably kill us still with brute strength.
I thought the purpose of AI was that it would be on its own. It would know. It would be like, what?
Right.
I'm so smart. I'm tapping into all the resources.
Maybe not provide guns around them. You know, said maybe it's Nerf guns, and I mean, I'm gonna assume maybe AI doesn't know the difference just yet,
right?
But that's what I saw. I mean, it's good that they're getting out in front of this, but at the same time, I wasn't really concerned.
Do you remember the movie Real Genius?
Of course.
Remember how great that was? Fun movie, wasn't it?
Great movie.
It was a 1980s movie. For those of you who don't know, it starred Val Kilmer, and the whole thing was, it was this guy who was super smart. He worked in the field of lasers, and they were working on this special laser. But unbeknownst to them, their professor was selling that to a defense contractor. Right. So what they realized was they had invented something that could vaporize a target from space, and so they tried to stop it. And it was kind of a fun movie. Really smart guys. Laszlo was somebody famous, though.
Uncle Rico.
That's right. Laszlo, who played the really smart recluse that was hidden in the walls. He was Uncle Rico.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're here for that, for those things like that.
Yeah, because the first time I heard that, I had to watch Real Genius again. It's like, I can't picture
absolutely.
That. Are you kidding me?
And so I'm bringing that up because Elon Musk was talking. I saw this little like documentary on YouTube about AI that scared the hell out of me, by the way. And Elon Musk was talking to people, and they were talking about drones, and they were talking about how they invented these drones that can just zip like so fast. And Elon Musk just quickly points out, you could create assassin drones right now.
Yep.
He goes, you have the technology. He goes, you have the technology to put a face recognition software in that drone that could, and attach it to an explosive that could fly into an office anywhere in the world, zip right to that individual and explode.
No,
and I went, oh my God, he's right.
Think about this. I know you saw it. The drone footage of Wrigley Field.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, I sat back and I was like, I cannot believe that this is absolutely amazing. I couldn't take my eyes off of it. But at the same time, in the back of my mind was just that. It was like, look how effortlessly it's flying through buildings.
Right. It's just...
Like, it's going down hallways like it's nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely. So when they say, like, we won't... AI might just go, yeah, you told us not to, but we're smart enough now to know what to do.
Well, I mean, this is what they said, and I quote, we believe that adding weapons to robots that are remotely or autonomously operated, widely available to the public, and capable of navigating to previously inaccessible locations where people live and work, raises new risks of harm and serious ethical issues.
It is, it's really, it's so terrible that we are inventing something that could, through...
Wipe us out.
Like, it could, but it also could cure cancer. It also could find solutions to food problems or any other major issue. These AI machines can process information so quickly and so much more advanced. They can run through scenarios constantly, 24 hours a day, to come up with solutions to our issues. And the number one thing is, yeah, but they can also kill us and kill us easily. Like, it would, yeah, it's such a complex issue. Because, man, wouldn't it be great to wake up one day and AI has found a cure for cancer, like
yeah,
I said,
of course.
Or anything, or Lou Gehrig's disease, or Alzheimer's, or whatever. But at the same time, they could go, and at the same time, we're taking out half of you because we don't like the way you look. It's, I don't, So, all right,
but
what's the...
I mean, it's good that they're
It is good
saying,
that they are committing to this.
Let's not do this.
Right?
But at the same time, we're still going to be making robots that can probably do this. Just, we're not going to weaponize them.
Well, you know, the only thing that can stop a bad robot with a gun is a good robot with a gun.
We need to find good robots.
Oh, goodness. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day goes to all the people who felt the need to point out that the Denver Nuggets mascot, Rocky, makes about 3 times more than the average WNBA player.
Is this a true thing, though? I saw that this might be fake news. Does he make $600,000 a year?
That's what I've been reading.
He might. I have no idea.
The way I look at it, this is that the NBA just throws money away.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you look at some of these salaries. They have these gigantic TV deals, and they don't have a whole lot of overhead. It's not like what a football team has.
I hate to say this. I'm sorry. I hate to say this, but I know so many people that work for teams. They're not making like $500,000 working in media relations. Like when we say that, we mean the players, and we mean the things.
But isn't Rocky one of those that's really entertaining?
Yo, he's great.
Kind of like the Suns gorilla.
He's great, but do you
they go
need
above
the guy?
And beyond?
Do you need the guy to? Can you get him for $300,000? Like, can you get the? Can you get somebody to do it? Who's athletic? Can you get somebody to do it for $200,000? You know, so like, there are plenty of average salaries within the organization. But that seems like a lot of money.
That does seem like, you know, $500 million?
Yeah, to be a mascot?
$500,000 a year?
To work 40 home games and all the publicity things that you do. So it's not just like the games. You'll go to a children's hospital. You'll go to an opening of something. Whoever basically hires you to come, you'll go.
Yeah, grocery store openings.
Yeah, grocery store opening, all of that. It's a lot of money.
Youth camps.
But at the same time, it's not somebody that you'd want doing it part-time, because you'd want him available all the time for all the things you want to use him for, and he's got to keep in shape, so he's got to be in the gym constantly, keeping his skills up.
I mean, both are believable. I just look at it as like, because it's basketball. I mean, you know, they don't have a whole lot of people that they need to pay, like, you know, versus football or baseball where you look at the roster size, and it's like, we got to split up amongst all these guys.
Look, I make this argument to people all the time, and I it's almost talking to a wall half the time. They'll see a contract and they'll go, like a guy that plays 5 minutes a night, and they go, oh, how could that guy make $5 million a year? And I'm like, because even though he's playing 5 minutes a night, he's one of like 200 of the best basketball players in the world.
Yeah,
like that's what this is. Like, you think. Like, you're a working guy, 9 to 5. You meet the 12th man on an NBA team who never plays, and you think you have something in common. You have nothing in common with him. Nothing. His path to where he is and your path to where you are completely different. Up until the moment he was the 12th guy on the bench for an NBA team, he was the best basketball player everywhere he has been.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's amongst people that are better than he is, but he's still one of the best in the world. And you're right, with 15 guys on a roster, 13 guys on a roster, depending on what you keep, you're not paying that many multi-million-dollar contracts.
No.
You know, it's not like football. You're
not
right.
Football where you got 53-man roster, baseball. Or baseball, you got 25-man. I mean, yeah, baseball's more.
Yeah,
you got minor league players. You know, some of the minor league players that you have signed to long-term deals because you try to lock them in a little bit longer because of what they could be.
But if you're Rocky and you're making $600,000 a year, that's a good gig. You better bank that.
You
better bank that.
You never give. Yeah.
Never. You got to keep that up. You got to keep up all the flips and the things that you do. I saw the list. It was like the gorilla in Phoenix was like middle of that pack. I thought the Phoenix gorilla would be number one. I didn't see that list and you said, who's
you know,
the top
obviously,
paid NBA mascot, I would have said the Phoenix Gorilla.
I mean, maybe with new ownership, he'll write the ship about it.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, I always think of, like, the most athletic mascot's got to be the Phoenix Gorilla.
Right, exactly. Because he's like the San Diego Chicken of NBA mascots, isn't he? I mean, he's like he's great. So, but yeah. I knew a guy that was the Rays mascot, like, in the early 2000s. He did when I was in minor league basketball. He did our stuff, and he was a Rays mascot, and he was.
I mean, when you think about it, even if you're just a, you know, if you're not making $500,000 as a mascot, if you're making like, you know, $50,000, $60,000 as a mascot, What a great job.
What a great, good job.
You're just a mascot. But see, so, the other reason why I say this is believable, because I remember we did a story a while back on the floor sweeper.
Yes, and I couldn't believe that.
The floor sweeper makes about $80,000 a year.
I couldn't buy that. I was like, there's no way. You could get somebody for $10 an hour to do that.
Yeah, but maybe not.
But maybe you're right. Maybe you can't. Maybe there's a special way you have to...
Or maybe it's kind of like maybe it's like the government, where the government will overspend because if they don't spend the allotted money that they have, then they lose it.
That might be it. That might be it. Could be that too.
I don't know.
Like they putting it in some taxable way, right? Yeah. But you're right, because you could say to a guy, a young person, hey, we'll give you $20 an hour, or we'll pay you $200 a night, right? You get to go to every game, sit right up there. And your job is to sweep the floor, and we'll give you a couple $100 a night. You can get somebody to do it rather than putting them on payroll and all of that. But yeah, I looked into that story and I was like, my God, it's true.
Yeah.
So this is probably true as well. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
I got two.
All right.
You know, I mean, both are kind of quick. One is just fun, and I had to bring it up. But the first one is that Adam Silver basically had to come out yesterday and ask teams not to tank for Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah, we're going to have to start getting to know his name. He's on my highlights every morning. Every day this kid.
Is it
7'5" that can hit threes?
Is it Wembanyama? I don't know. This is what Adam Silver said. I know that many of our NBA teams are salivating at the notion that potentially through our lottery they can get him. So they should all still compete very hard next season.
Okay, what makes this guy different than Yao Ming, LeBron James, anybody else that was coming in as the solid, absolute number one, you are tanking for this dude that the NBA has had for years and years and years?
There's always a guy. 7'5", but can actually move with the ball?
7'5", that can hit threes. He's amazing. He's amazing.
Who dribbles the ball up the court like a point guard? That, and it looks like a point guard when he's dribbling it. I mean, it actually has the handles of like what Steph Curry has.
This is a guy you would create in a video game. If they had create a player, you'd be like, I want him to be 7'5" and agility of a point guard and dominate the paint, and he can hit threes.
Well, I mean, to take the dub even further, his agent has let everyone know that he's been reached out by a couple of NBA teams saying, hey, can you do us a favor, shut him down?
Don't let him play anymore. Just because you don't want
him to get hurt. That'll hurt his draft. And
he falls hard.
Yeah, but he's like, no, I will never be able to get Victor to do that because Victor's a competitor. He wants to play.
Yeah.
Which is the right thing for an agent to say.
Right. But deep down, he's probably like, you don't have to do this anymore.
Yeah, you can go half speed now. You already did it. You already showed what you got.
You're done. Just sit back and enjoy the fruits of your labor, young man, because come June next year.
Come join Ron on the couch and watch Major League Baseball playoffs. Yep, that's how you got to live your life for the next, eight months?
That's right. What's the second dumb of the day?
The second dumb of the day is this new conspiracy theory that's floating around out there.
I love
ourselves some conspiracy theories, but I mean, it's so out there. That's why I had to bring it up. Because it's centered around Tom and Giselle's impending divorce.
Yes.
And basically what it is that Giselle is a white witch.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. She's like casting spells and stuff?
Yeah. She cast a spell that protected Tom's body and enhanced his athletic abilities and gave him potions that allowed him to freeze time. The agreement between Brady and his witch wife was that she'd support his athletic endeavors, and in exchange, he'd retire at age 45, which is the tarot number for making positive life changes.
This is great.
You want to come back with this?
Yeah, can we come back with this?
All right, because it's a little longer.
Oh, I'm intrigued by this now. The depths people will go. All right, we'll come back with this crazy story when we come back on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so I am really fascinated with this. I ended up Googling. We did the good, the bad, and the dumb, and towards the end there was a dumb that there are witches who say that Tom Brady married a white witch who gave him powers beyond normal men, and now those powers are being sucked away because his agreement was to leave at retire at 45, and he did not. This is great. This is so fascinating.
And it's right.
Oh,
I believe this more than I believe that Tom Brady left for the Masked Singer.
And that's because the people are saying how awful he looks. I'm like, yeah, he looks like the guy in Thinner.
Oh, my God.
Thinner.
That one press conference when you just sat there, you're like, what happened to him?
His cheeks are caved in.
Yeah. Well, now we know why.
Like, I never looked like that in my 40s, ever. Like, no matter what I did, I ran, I exercised. Yep. I never looked fit. My body at a certain age went, nah, we're done. We're storing fat for the winter, young man, no matter what you do. We're keeping this right in here. And Brady looks horrible. I mean, he looks terrible. He looks he doesn't look plumpy. I can see Giselle conjuring up. She's got a brew.
Yeah.
She's got a locket of his hair, plopped it into the pot, spotting around, bat's wings in there.
I'm just picturing, like, you know, maybe it's more like the witch in Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, right.
When the beast, you know, when the prince denied the old hag, and then she turned into a beautiful woman and was like, nope, you're going to be a monster now.
And that's what he's doing. He's just
taking it away from him.
That's right.
Like, you know, we had a deal. We had a pact.
So
probably a blood pact.
So this is again, conspiracy theories are fun and they're a little crazy. It depends on how far you take them, right? So this isn't just somebody conjuring this up. This is like real people who believe they're witches making these, like, on TikTok.
Right.
Like, people who are like, well, I know because I'm a witch too, and I know what's going down. So it's not just something people are just creating. It's like people who are like believe in this witchcraft. And then putting it out there. Oh, yeah, yay. This is great. Like, Giselle, she is so livid at him. I mean, it's unbelievable. And it's a story that, you know, I tried to do it this week, and I just couldn't get into it because I don't like the marriage part of it. I want to do it more on the football side of it, make it more sporty.
Well, you know, I think what's going to happen is that we will probably end up talking about it more on Monday. I guess we got to wait and see what Sunday happens.
Yeah, right.
You know, what kind of changes will there be? But, I mean, it's fascinating because it's playing out in public right now. I mean, we're just seeing it. We're seeing this dissolve. There's been all these little inklings all over the place, and it just escalated over the summertime.
And I think the people who were really, it's in the New York Post every day. I read the New York Post every day, and there's a story on this constantly. Is it a celebrity marriage? Of course. Is it a Hollywood marriage? No, it's a sports modeling marriage. So I don't know how much TMZ-ish, like how many people in that world, you know, like this story, like the Perez Hilton people, you know what I mean? Because it's not like Blake Lively. Like, it's not that.
Right, but I'm going to argue with you and say that it is a Hollywood marriage because everyone has heard of Tom Brady.
When I say Hollywood marriage, I mean because they reside in that industry.
Oh, okay, okay.
Like, when I say Hollywood marriage, I don't mean like Hollywood like as a Hollywood.
Well, they both have acted.
I mean, Ryan Reynolds is an actor. Blake Lively is an actress. Okay, they got married. They came together. Like, if that was falling apart, that would be a Hollywood marriage. You know, like this is a model dating a quarterback. Like, where hasn't this happened in American history, right? And I don't know if there's if the entertainment people, like the Entertainment Tonight crowd that watches for the latest on who Leo's
Kardashians
dating,
or
the Kardashians. I don't know how much they're into this marriage. Like, does this sell papers, like the kind of papers that, like, again, Ryan Reynolds would sell?
I think it does, just because of, you know, everyone knows who Brady is.
Right.
If you're not in football, you know who Tom Brady is.
Yeah,
and I think you know who Giselle is.
Sure. You know, I think I told you, I either say it on the air or off the air. There was one of the political shows, talking head shows, that had no idea Giselle was a major model.
Yeah, you're right.
Because he made a point in the panel that he made kind of a joke that how dare she be upset Tom Brady's out there working to give her the lifestyle. And somebody on the panel went, do you know who he's married to? Like, she's worth $1 billion. Like she's not just some runway model that's a dime a dozen. She's one of the top models on the planet.
Ever.
ever in the history of modeling. She's one of the, like, it's not just, hey, I found myself a Victoria's Secret angel.
Woo-hoo!
One of 25 of them. Like, he got the model.
Yeah. Although, like, I think she was
need
an angel.
His money. He needs her money. Like he's probably figuring out a way to get a piece of that pie.
There was that little video of, it's an old video of Brady and Gronk laughing.
Right.
And
right.
all the tagline was with it was like, you know, Brady and his lawyers figuring this divorce settlement out.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, you would think about it, it's like, yeah, Brady's about, you know, could he get some of Giselle's money?
Yeah. This, you know what? It goes to Brady's mentality. When I read that book by Seth Wickersham, it really opened my eyes to this guy. This guy loves football on par with other things in his life. Like, I don't want to accuse him of loving it equal to his family, but it's not a distant second, right? Like, you know, like, he has this thing where football is so much ingrained in his, it's hard to pull him away from that. But from a sports standpoint, we understood it because we know, covering sports, that athletes have a hard time walking away from something they're still good at. It's when you're not good at it that it's easier to turn away, right? I watched Matt Ryan last night. He's got no offensive line. He's got no receivers. Jonathan Taylor's out. He looked terrible. I wanted to pull him off the field and go, it's been a good run. End this. You're not going to get any better at this. You're 37. But Brady's like, I led the league in touchdown passes and yards and had my team in the playoffs hosting a game that we lost because we made some mistakes. That happens. But I'm not declining in my skill. Why would I walk away? And she's like, I don't care about that. You're supposed to walk away for your kids and your family. You told me that's what's going to happen. And now you just casually threw that away. And so I'm leaving. Matt Michelle joins us next. We'll talk college football, the games that are coming up this weekend as we continue with Wake Up Call.